it's beautiful when you're driving and you see just miles and miles and miles of this line of fire going in zigzaggy patterns at night. It's so beautiful.
I'm Samantha Brown. You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast. This week, a Kansas rancher invites tourists to help out with his annual prairie burn. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. We bring you pieces each week about the intersection of people and place. Up now, Pain to Burn the Prairie, produced by Sylvia Maria Gross for KCUR.
For most of his career, Jan Jansen was a college administrator.
But don't hold that against me. I've always been an outdoors kid at heart and gave things names, trees and weeds and bushes, even when I didn't know what they were.
Jan grew up in a small town in western Kansas, and when he retired from academia, he bought a cattle ranch in the nearby Flint Hills. It's a region with the largest swath of original tallgrass prairie in the country. For thousands of years, animals have grazed on its natural grasses and wildflowers. Every few years, a lightning strike would burn the pastures down to ashes. It's an ecosystem that Native Americans and then modern ranchers like Jan have learned to help along with cattle and fire.
If we didn't burn and graze this area, it would become primarily a scrub forest, mainly with eastern red cedars that don't have much value for anything.
Jan says in the spring, ranchers start itching to burn their pastures. Earth, wind, fire, those basic elements seem to attract people.
Before you check in, folks, right here.
We have to check in. Okay, thank you. Okay, before check in.
When it was time to burn, Jan used to just call over some friends, get some six-packs, and make a little party of it. But then friends would invite more friends. People from out of town would hear about it and start scheduling vacations around Jan's prairie burn. Some even started offering to pay. So Jan created this event called Flames in the Flint Hills. Guests pay $120 each to help him burn his prairie. Anne DeMontilla brought her husband and four children. They're from Paris originally. Now they live in Kansas City.
We talked to our friends, American friends, in Kansas City, and they said, why are you going to do? You are going, burning what? Burning what? But nobody does that. I said, okay, but we are going to do it.
There are 50 paying guests today. Since Jan started these burns 5 years ago, he's had visitors from as far as Germany and Finland, but most are from around Kansas and Kansas City. Jan's old friends are working the event as volunteers. Plus, there's a bluegrass band and a caterer who serves local cheese curd and peach-glazed buffalo and barley meatballs out of a chuck wagon.
Please come inside.
In the barn, Jan steps on a little stage and the guests sit on blocks of hay. He gives them a little history, science, and then some fire safety tips.
It's important to me that everybody that came with hair and eyebrows leaves with the same amount of hair and eyebrows.
Jan's rule of thumb is to remember the colors black and blue. If the fire's heading at you, he says, go to an area that's black because it's already been burned.
If you can't get to someplace black, and here it comes, go someplace blue, like a pond.
And with that, we're ready to set some fires.
As you file out, grab some matches if you want them. Go get your rake and follow me across the pond.
We line up along one edge of the pasture. Our backs are to the wind. Jan tells us to pull the tall, dry Indian grass into little clumps for kindling. And then, the big moment.
Firelighters, are you ready?
Yeah!
Light the fire!
Let me out of here.
It's windy, and the grass takes a few seconds to catch.
We've got smoke. Right. Rake to your left. Not still first.
But when it does, the firelighters use their rakes to drag it along the ground until it whooshes up into huge flames. In a minute or two, it's a true inferno, licking the sky 20 feet up, hotter and brighter than I expected. Now, some people here are old hands at this. Brian Keith is a local rancher. He's helping Jan out as a volunteer and admits some locals think this is a little weird.
The older generation
really do think it's awkward or odd that somebody would come pay for an experience like this, but I think it's a great opportunity for them, and you know, it's also an opportunity for Jan to, you know, create a little income and educate the public at the same time.
There are people who criticize these burns. They say the smoke hurts air quality. It's a debate that's gone on for decades, but Jan says prairie burns are essential to ranching, and he hopes these events will teach people where their food comes from. And he also wants to show struggling farmers and ranchers other ways to make money off the land.
The ranching way of life, the horses, the cattle, the four-wheelers, the tractors, the combines, most all of which these days have an extra seat in them.
And that extra seat could be worth $100 to have a tourist ride along, see what it's like to harvest corn or wheat. It's almost night, and 4-year-old Zita De Montilla is a little frustrated. Her fire is taking a little longer to flame up.
It's not like that one.
Yours is a slow burn.
Yeah.
It'll get there.
And in about 7 days, it'll all be green.
Green with flowers and flowers and flowers.
Mm-hmm. I fell into a burning ring of fire.
No burning song.
We're getting a little giddy, surrounded by lines of flame and walking over the charred ground in between. Christy Wright is standing where the field hits the road, making sure all the fires go out safely.
I've grown up in the Flint Hills, love the Flint Hills. It's beautiful when you're driving and you see just miles and miles and miles of this line of fire going in zigzaggy patterns at night. It's so beautiful.
As people are leaving, Jan still has work to do. He pulls up to the smoldering field in his four-wheeler with a Miller Lite in his hand.
I'm celebrating.
But he's not done yet.
I see the possibility of some fence posts that might be on fire, so I'm going to go down and put out the fence posts.
I'll let you do that.
That piece was produced by Sylvia Maria Gross for KCUR. If you'd like to hear more pieces like this one, go to the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. Send your thoughts and feedback to podcast@tnc.org. From Woodsole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week.